Welcome to the Broadband Bunch, a podcast about broadband and how it impacts us all. Join us to learn about the state of the industry and the latest innovations and trends. Connect with the thought leaders, pioneers, and policymakers helping to shape your future through broadband. This episode of the Broadband Bunch is sponsored by ETI Software, your zero-touch automation experts. By Calix, simplify, excite, grow. By DXTEL, creators of the Harper Broadband Marketing Library. By ITK Solutions Group, process first, technology second. And by Utopia Fiber, building a more connected nation. Hello, everyone in broadband land, and welcome to another episode of The Broadband Bunch. I'm your host, Brad Hine, and thanks for joining today. One of the most known broadband events of the year makes its return again in 2022 to another in-person conference next month. Fiber Connect, the annual gathering of the Fiber Broadband Association, its members and partners, will take place again on June 12th through 15th at the Gaylord Opryland Resort in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, where thousands will converge from around the nation and other FBA chapters globally. Today, we have two guests joining us to talk a little bit about it. A recurring guest, Mr. Joseph Jones, we know him as JJ, serves on the FBA Board of Directors as Fiber Connect Conference Chairman. He is also the EVP of OnTrack Incorporated, the leader of Broadband Fulfillment Services. Along with JJ, we have a newcomer to the Broadband Bunch, Rich Williams, serving as Fiber Connect's 2022 Program Director and the President of Connect2 Communications. Gentlemen, great to have you here and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. This is a treat every year get to speak to you and your team. And we've got a lot to talk about and a great conference plan for you guys this year.
I don't know. You kind of gave me a little bit of a heart attack when you said next month, because I've been thinking this in terms of 7 weeks, 6 weeks, but next month makes it seem right around the corner, which it is.
Yeah, we are less than a month, man. I'm so excited. I know, you know, this event actually is very important to the Broadband Bunch team. So we first came on the scene in 2019 on the floor live with kind of the man on the street interview. So, and I know for many years as it's been going, Fiber Connect is really, it's the leading business and technology event in fiber in all of North America. So I know our mission and being a member some years as the planning team, I include myself, is to attract operators and educate, shepherd them into best practices and really surround them in the community enthusiasts and experts that we have available to them. But before we speak on this year, like you guys mentioned, can we take a quick step back and on the great turnout last year and some of the record numbers we had in our first post-pandemic face-to-face?
Yeah, Brad, it was, you probably heard this story before, but, you know, we had just come out of 2020 and end up, like everyone else, having to host a virtual conference. And Fiber Broadband hosted ours in December of 2020. And then we had a what we thought was going to be a quick turnaround. We were looking at planning our 2021 conference and expo in Dallas, Texas, and that was going to be in June. And Gary Bolton, CEO and president of the Fiber Broadband Association, took a trip in late February to visit the Gaylord Texan. And just looking at what COVID numbers still were at that time and really hearing from a lot of our premier members that were still on travel restrictions, we thought, man, we've got to pivot and we've got to change some things up if this is going to be a success. And we were able to negotiate with the Gaylord properties. You know, they are all individually owned, but still under that Gaylord umbrella. And we've had a great partnership with that organization now for many years. And we were able to pivot and move from Dallas, Texas to Nashville, Tennessee, just based on the great drive-in traffic that Nashville brings. And actually got a conference moved from early June to late July. And you kind of throw all that together, and it just kind of worked out into our favor. And we're very just grateful and gracious of what that meant for us. And what that meant was our highest attendance ever at a Fiber Connect conference. We had over 2,100 attendees show up. And like you said, just a post-pandemic bounce. We were just very, very fortunate to be able to host a live in-person event for 21. But just the reception that it brought was just really just unspeakable. We were just kind of blown away and just grateful at the same time. And so, you know, Rich and I, the one question we keep getting asked now, Brad, is, well, how can you guys top it? And we feel like, you know, we have the agenda that's been put together, and we've been working on this thing since early October, is we feel like we've got the agenda and the speakers and the whole lineup to really even exceed 21, which is just hard to believe.
Man, that's awesome to hear. I can remember last year and coming back and being really fired up about, you know, being face to face with folks and having those conversations that, you know, I had had for, you know, a decade before then at this conference. So let's talk a little bit now, kind of coming into present. What's a quick overview of what you've seen so far, what we can expect of some of the numbers, attendees, speakers, exhibitors, sessions, things like that? Can you say a few words about that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to go over what I'll call some of our stats for this year. Then I'll turn it over to Rich. We've got over 200 speakers this year, over 75 sessions, over 180 exhibitors. We're sold out. We've even got a waiting list of over 60 companies, and which is just incredible. Lucy Green is just phenomenal what she does on helping us with all of our exhibit, all of our sales, all of our sponsorships. And so just 180 exhibitors is just great. 4 pre-conference workshops, 3 special luncheons for network operators, public officials, and women in fiber. We've got an invitation-only luncheon for C-level attendees this year. We're estimating, Brad, but over 2,500 attendees, and to even top what we did last year. So that's kind of hitting on some of the key points, and I could turn it over to Rich for some more details, but just incredible numbers before we even get there. Like you said, we're less than a month away now.
Yeah, I think the thing we had, the conversations we had leading into how we designed the program this year was we really wanted to lean into the fact that we are at a historic tipping point for our industry, right? We knew that the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act was in process, but wasn't done yet, but when we first started our planning. And we wanted to create an event that brought everyone together that was involved in that process or would benefit from that process. And that includes communities, includes state broadband officers, it includes the companies that are driving the demand for more capacity in the home. And I'm thrilled we have 2 of those speakers as part of our lineup, because ultimately what we wanted to do was make sure that people understood that if the choice was made for fiber broadband in the community, that community would be open to limitless possibilities. And in fact, our theme for the conference is with unlimited capacity comes limitless possibilities. And because we do believe that more happens when fiber's there, because it doesn't tap out when you have all these different devices, all these different services all running in at the same time in the home, right? We just think it creates a lot of possibilities for people. So we're excited by the interest in the entire industry to be in Nashville June 12th through 15th to talk about all these issues from a federal level, including NTIA, from state levels. And we have 4 or 5 different, I think maybe it's 6 or 7 now, state broadband officers speaking as part of the agenda, either pre-conference workshop or the breakout sessions. We've got USAC, and we've got the National Tribal Telecom Association. We have vendors and operators, you know, large operators like AT&T and small municipal operators and utilities offering fiber broadband. So basically, if you're in the game, this is where it's being played in June.
Man, that's great to hear. I know there will be all types and sizes of operators and broadband service providers in attendance, but for them specifically, just to focus on them before we kind of get into the daily agenda that you guys have put together. So what's really in it for the operator? So if I'm a new or maybe just about to launch my fiber network, what am I looking for in this conference and what's available for me?
Well, I would say, Brad, for the beginning, we've got something for everyone at the conference. You know, you look at our mission as an association. Our mission is to accelerate deployment of fiber broadband networks to ensure digital equity, enable every community to leverage economic and societal benefits that only fiber can deliver. And we feel like our conference at Fiber Connect is highlights that mission. And we bring the entire ecosystem of the industry and our membership together for 3 days of networking, education, and exhibiting. And when you look at that, you know, the themes, you know, what's gonna benefit operators? We've got so many. We've got a track on operator best practices. We've got one on industry perspectives, deployment from the view, case study central. There's so many. When you look at all of our themes, all of our topics, everything there kind of points to serving the operators. And that's our focus, is what's going to benefit the operators to continue to deploy fiber, you know, or even get into the game. And what is it going to take them to kind of leverage what they need to do to deploy fiber? So we've already got, looking at our, talking about our stats, we've already got over 400 network operators signed up that are going to show up. It's just, that's a great number.
Wow.
And so we're still a month away, and we're going to add to that list. And so we're excited just about ways that we can serve the operators just through our content.
And I think what's interesting too is really helping the operators maximize and monetize this opportunity to really take fiber further, really to close that digital equity gap once and for all. And, you know, the IIJA is going to be a big part of that. But it's also just making sure they have the tools and the tips and the case studies about how they can actually take this, the funds that are available, you know, make sure they're meeting all the deadlines and requirements that come with those funds. And then they hit the ground running and offer those services, you know, everything from identifying new opportunities to looking at how they can add services that make them stickier in the process too, right? Like ultimately, as JJ said, we serve the operators. So we want to make sure they have everything they need from the one association that can bring it. So they have the opportunity to network, they have the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to make deals. Like all that's going to happen at Fiber Connect.
That's fabulous. And I know that you've, as we talked a little bit already, you know, this is really just a packed week. And, you know, from end to end, could one of you go over a little bit about kind of the daily agenda? I know there's some really interesting and fabulous keynote speakers and sessions that going on from day to day. And I know you really strategize daily to have a particular focus. So could one of you kind of run through that really quick for our listeners?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Brad. I'll kind of highlight Sunday, and I'm going to let Rich kind of touch on what we're looking at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But
okay.
Sundays are pre-conference workshops, and don't miss that day. That day, come in early. We don't actually get started on those till about 12:30 on Sunday. So if you do have good drive-in from Nashville, you can come up Sunday morning. But make sure that you attend one of the pre-conference workshops. We used to start, if you remember, Brad, we used to just have the Fiber Broadband Starter Kit, and that was kind of our staple, has been for years, but mm-hmm. And we've added so many more. And so in addition to the Fiber Broadband Starter Kit again this year, we've got the Fiber Broadband Infrastructure Playbook. We've got fiber panels for cable operators, which we're doing in partnership with Cable Facts and our good friends over at ACA. And then our fourth workshop is the Future of Fiber Technologies, the BASE workshop. And that's in partnership with Broadband Forum. But I feel like we've got something for everyone. And kind of going back to the operators, you know, that Fiber Broadband Starter Kit workshop has really always been focused on the operators and really trying to go through an A to Z, soup to nuts, on what does it take to get into the fiber deployment game. And there's so much that we could cover, but just kind of highlighting, we've kind of targeted it to five specific sessions for that workshop. And that's going to be, we're going to be going over the community broadband assessment, the value and impact of research and brand positioning, building community support and political will, marketing strategies, and then broadband funding options. And so that's kind of our starter kit, where we want to kind of help the communities, the operators, on their fiber deployment journey, kind of help them get started and point them in the right direction on giving them the content, and education they need to get started. And then a new one that I mentioned that we're really excited about also is the Fiber Broadband Infrastructure Playbook Workshop, with a focus really on state broadband offices and public officials. And we're really excited about the content. We've got 5 sessions for that as well, Brad, and I'll just kind of run through these and then turn it over to Rich. But we're going to be kind of having a focus on the state broadband office. You know, what's it take to actually get your office set up? And a lot of states do have an office, but some do not still. And we've got state broadband officers coming in from several states, kind of talk what that looks like from their point of view. We're going to have a session on implementing the BEAD program, another one on grant preparedness and grant program development, another session on the role of public and private partnerships when it comes to funding, and then kind of close that out with the best practices roundtable. So do not miss Sunday. Make sure when you register, you sign up for one of the pre-conference workshops. I feel like we've got something for everyone, but just an incredible way to kick off really the first day of the conference. And then we'll finish out that evening with an opening reception, which is just a great network event. But then we jump into Monday, and I'll let Rich take it over from there.
Well, I'm going to tag into Sunday night real quick, because that opening reception is sponsored by Atrian. And we've got the phenomenal Nashville-based artist SJ McDonald playing there. So you don't want to miss that reception. She is fire. Like, come see her at Fiber Connect before you have to pay to see her at, you know, whatever the big venue is in your hometown. So Monday morning, after you've gotten well-rested Sunday night, we're kicking off bright and early with some awards. And then we've got, I'm really excited about the opening keynote's Andy Burke from the NTIA. And if you look at the person that's overseeing that $42 billion investment infrastructure, that's the man. So he starts things off, and then we jump right into a panel called Federal Focus, Bridging the Digital Divide. And we've got just a pack. You can go to the website and get everyone's names and titles. But we have 6 speakers there. They're going to be really looking at what is the federal focus, how it's going to be implemented. It's everyone from Jim Stegman from CostQuest to Radhika Sakar from USAC. You're going to love that panel. We'll have a little break there. And because we're in Nashville, we're going to have another phenomenal artist named Autumn Nicholas playing during the break, and then set the stage for what's going to happen later that evening, which we'll talk in a little bit later. We followed that break with a panel called State of the States. And that brings, I think we have 3 state broadband officers on that panel. We also have Godfrey Njati from the National Tribal Telecom Association, really talking about once that federal funds flow into the states, what happens then? Then we follow up with one of those two of the demand driver keynotes that we discussed. We've got Randy Brogel from Meta. He's part of their infrastructure group. And that's going to wrap up the morning general sessions that day. But really looking at how it's going to play out from the federal infrastructure investment to how it gets to the state level, to one of those main companies that's really pushing the demand for more capacity in the home. And Facebook and their parent company, Meta, are a big part of that. And then we go into the breakout sessions. And we have 7 breakout sessions. One, which is really interesting, is through partnership with Telecompetitor, and that's on the public-private partnerships. But as JJ mentioned earlier, we also have a Case Study Central. We have an Innovation Track. We have an Operator Perspective. We have industry perspective. We have an operator best practices. Just, you know, basically every topic you can think of, from technical to market to case study, is going to be covered Monday afternoon. Tuesday, with the conference program, we start again with some more awards in that morning. We open up with another one of the demand drivers, and that's Kevin Linhart from TiVo. If you look at one of the applications that puts a lot of stress on the networks is all this great content that's coming directly to your home, and sometimes for the first time, right? Who's seen a Ryan Reynolds movie anywhere but Netflix recently? That's what the pandemic changed, and what's never going to change is we are going to have first run movies in your home, and entertainment is going to be a big driver for that. So then following the Kevin Linhart presentation, we've got a great panel that is look at the large incumbent carriers and what they're doing. It's called Everywhere Fiber Connects. We've got a speaker from AT&T, from Frontier, from Nextech, from Google Fiber, and Windstream. And that's moderated by Stephen Harvey from Lightwave. We have a break then. And then there's a panel that I know is near and dear to JJ's heart called Fiber and the Social Good. So, JJ, I'm going to give it back to you to talk a little about that panel.
No, I'm excited about it, Brad. Wanted to highlight some companies that are really going above and beyond and giving back. You know, we think about all these communities that are just benefited from the actual fiber technology itself, but I wanted to put something together that kind of highlights some companies that are giving back differently, not just on the fiber they're deploying or from an equipment manufacturer standpoint, but giving back socially. So many are giving back, and I wanted just to highlight and for the attendees to hear their stories on how they're giving back to the community. And so I've got some great people on this panel, great companies in Clearfield, CSpire, Office of Educational Technology, GBTC Communications. And so we're going to really be able to hear their stories on how they're giving back beyond just the fiber deployment, but how they're giving back to their community. So I'm excited, just fiber and the social good and how so many people in their communities are benefiting in more ways than one. And so looking forward to that. So Rich, thanks for letting me highlight that real quick. And I know we're finishing the day with Catherine DeWitt on Building the Fiber Future for Today. If you haven't heard Catherine with Pew Charitable Trust, she's great. And then we move into kind of lunches and more breakout sessions through that afternoon. And then we finish it off with Wednesday. And Rich, I'll let you kind of close us out on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. So one thing that's Tuesday afternoon that's just for the breakout sessions is we have two tracks that are just Tuesday. One is on the drivers for multi-gig. And so make sure you find those panels. If you're looking at one of the applications that are going to be putting pressure on your network and how do you best solve those issues. And the second is one called Analyst Take. And we've invited some of the industry analysts like Jeff Hainan and Eric Keith and Scott Rainovich to present their latest research about the market. So make sure you dial in to, you come in and you take time to see those presentations you want when you want to really understand some of the factors that are pushing the market and where the growth is happening. And then Wednesday morning, we're kicking off bright and early again. Wednesday is more of a panel day. The first panel is utility of fiber looking beyond the smart grid. And that's got Craighead Electric Cooperative, Coleman Electric, Ozark Go, Bright Ridge, and Seven States Power. And that's going to be moderated by a telecompetitor. We go in, the next one is one that I'm pretty passionate about called Fiber Broadband Economic Enablement Lightspeed. Really looking at what are the economic advantages a community can hope to realize once fiber is in play. Everything from GDP increase to the average selling price of your home going up. The ability to attract new businesses. There's just a lot of great things that happen once fiber's in the ground beyond the ability to deploy fiber services, right? That has a long-lasting societal impact on your community, and we want to highlight that, and we're pretty excited about that. Then we have a very exciting keynote from Dr. Christopher Ali from the University of Virginia. He has written a book. He traveled around the country, he and his dog, and they interviewed communities across the country. And he wrote a book called Farm Fresh Broadband. He is our keynote speaker on Wednesday. We follow that with Industry Leaders Roundtable, which brings in Gary Bolton from FBA, Matt Polka from ACA, Shirley Bloomfield from NTCA, David Groshman from CTA, Paul Breakman from NRECA. And I'm excited to have CTA as part of that this year because I think it also starts to put that bridge between the applications that are driving the need for capacity and what people are talking about doing next. That whole consumer level electronic and service layer down to the infrastructure layer, which we work on. And then we wrap up with a municipal fiber, how communities use fiber to thrive. So if you really look at the gamut of the speakers we have, the panelists we have, the topics we're covering, if you're going to be pulling fiber broadband in a community, we've got you covered. From utility providers to municipal providers to large incumbent carriers to across the board. So if you want to hear how that fiber broadband can be deployed in any scenario imaginable, come to Fiber Connect. We got you covered.
That's great. It looks like we have a star-studded packed lineup for the week. I know that when we spoke initially about this, there were a lot of media groups and analysts that are getting interested with obviously the amount of investment that's coming into the industry, you know, equity analysts. I know it's, you mentioned AT&T, Clearfield. I know Fierce Telecom is going to be there, telecompetitor. You mentioned cable opportunities, ACA being involved. I think you also started talking about a true Nashville experience that they're going to have. You mentioned a couple artists in there. So, yeah. So tell us how you came up with that. It sounds like, you know, at the end of the day, we're kind of wrapping up with business and we're, you know, we're chatting with folks around the hotel, but it doesn't stop there. You're truly extending that experience into a music experience each evening, it sounds like.
It is. And I think that's one of the benefits of being in a place like Music City and Nashville. Yeah. Is why wouldn't we bring that into the conference? Like, completely. So it will be an immersive experience from start to finish with an amazing music. So one of the things we're doing, it was SJ McDonald playing Sunday night. She's, again, amazing. So on Tuesday night, we're going to be hosting what we call the Nashville Stories Songwriter Experience. It's an authentic Nashville experience. If you come to Nashville on vacation, you go to the Bluebird Cafe. This is what you're going to see. And we have four artists that are playing during it. And it's a round. So they're all on stage the same time. They're telling stories. They're telling the stories behind the songs they've written, who they've been played by. And we've got Autumn Nicholas, Emma Zink, Madeline Finn, and Ryan Larkin. And one of the four artists just had a song cut by Dolly Parton. So these are performers in their own right, but they also write for a lot of people throughout Nashville. And it's going to be amazing. It's just going to be an amazing night of music and stories and insights and how the music is made, and a lot of fun. So Calyx is sponsoring that. So do not miss that. You know, go out, have dinner, come back. It starts at 8 o'clock. Have some dessert, which we'll have out there for you, but come and enjoy an authentic Nashville experience at FiberConnect. I really think people, with the way we've been able to make this music sort of really immersive through the conference, people are gonna, this is gonna just stick in their heads as one of their favorite conferences of all time.
Yeah. And that's Monday night, the 13th. So make sure you're there for that.
And then the next day, Ryan Larkins, who's playing Monday night, will be the musical performer who's gonna play during the breaks, play intros. We're going to have music from these five artists that's going to play throughout the conference. It really is an these are all artists you will see one day on the biggest stages in your community.
Wow, that's great. That really is unique, you know, in Nashville. What a great opportunity in a music city like this. You know, stepping back a little bit in terms of some of the new things that you and I talked about adding this year. You mentioned something about a case study central or proof of concept central on the expo floor, where vendors can actually show proof of concepts actually that were working in the industry, so operators can come and experience that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So it's the first time we've done this at FiberConnect, and it is an opportunity, like you said, for vendors to come together and show how they can help operators really address some of these emerging applications like smart city, smart home, smart community that are on the horizon. So, you know, when fiber comes in, we talk about those opportunities, those possibilities. These are some of those things that operators can do next, right, to make sure they're fully monetized and maximizing the fiber opportunity. So we have six proof of concept demonstrations. It's on the show floor. It's in the fiber zone, so the very center of the conference. We're real excited about it. We're going to have some awards given out on Wednesday morning that the industry analysts that are attending will be the judges of. We're going to have a private media tour of them. So it's really an opportunity for companies to show how they're being innovative and how they're helping change the market and how they're helping operators do what's next. I mean, you should really come and see these and look at them as a blueprint for what the operator can do if they want to develop those type of opportunities themselves.
Fabulous, fabulous. You know, as we wind down today, what I love to do is ask a couple questions of our guests. You know, with the experience you've had and all the planning you've had in setting up FiberConnect 2022, we like to default to what we call our back to the future question. So going back over the last year or so and taking your time trip in a DeLorean, what are some of the things now that we're weeks away from this event, and you might even have a different explanation after the event, but what are some of the things that you could go back in time and kind of whisper into your ear, things you may want to know?
Well, I might want to go back a little bit farther than a year, Brad. If I'm thinking through this, I probably want to go back several years when we first signed some contracts with the Gaylord Opryland. And my Back to the Future would have been to tell myself, you're going to need double, triple the room block space that you currently have right now. Because believe it or not, we are sold out at the Gaylord Opryland. We've gone back six times to them to add block room, which they've done. But we've sold out of that. We sold out at a backup hotel on property called the Inn at the Gaylord. We sold out of that block. And so now we're pointing everyone to a list of five to six different hotels in the area. But I would go back and tell myself, the association is going to grow incredible numbers over the next 4 or 5 years, and your annual conference Fiber Connect is also going to grow as well, and ask for more room blocks, which, you know, it's a great problem to have, but that would probably be my Back to the Future moment.
Gotcha. So let's take a step forward then. So kind of going into the future from now, you know, we talked about the large numbers that keep getting mentioned coming into the industry that all end with a B, billion. What would be your crystal ball statement? So, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, what do you expect to see in terms of Fiber Connect and everything that's going on in the space?
Well, I think the one thing we're going to see in 4 or 5 years is there are companies now that are delivering some of these application services that are requiring capacity and massive amounts of capacity. You're going to see them becoming more active stakeholders in the infrastructure that is delivered to the home, because ultimately they're going to understand that if they don't have a voice in this, the voice that's going to be calling them at 10 a.m. when their kid's PlayStation game doesn't work is because they didn't participate in the conversation about why it should be fiber. And I think, you know, with the NTIA's notice of funding that came out on Friday, clearly fiber is the choice. So this really is a historic opportunity. And I think we're looking back 5 years from now and say, we did it right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great message to the industry. You know, as we kind of wind down here, we sure did cover a lot today. And I appreciate you both joining today, giving us a snippet of what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't added so far?
So I will say one thing real quick, that the hotel is fully open and so are all the restaurants. So folks who came last year and might have had to travel a bit to get a meal, that will not be the problem this year. And also, we have a dedicated program. I think we have 14 media partners and 11 analyst partners signed up. We have over 40 press and analysts registered for the event so far, and we're still a month out, which again gives me a heart attack. I think it's just a month out. But we, you know, if you're a company and you have news, make sure you're using Fiber Connect as part of your news cycle, because the press will be there and they're going to want to hear how you're contributing to the conversation and how you're going to help companies and operators bridge that digital divide.
Yeah. You know, Brad, I'll piggyback a little bit on what Rich was saying about the hotel being fully open and restaurants being open. Something we're going to do a little bit different this year too is have kind of like a hybrid version of a food truck. We're going to have some food trucks open up in the expo hall that are actually going to serve lunch. And so instead of you feeling like you got to run and find a restaurant and get in line, we're going to actually have some meals that you'll pay for, but you'll be able to purchase there in the exhibit hall to kind of help you not have to rush. You can kind of hang out in the expo hall, network more, but that's going to help also just on the food side. But I want to add that, but a couple more things in closing, if I could add, is number one, this is very serendipitous how it worked out, but APPA, which is the American Public Power Association, they are hosting their annual conference, same location, same dates as us. And that's a great organization. Many of their members have gotten to the fiber deployment space, but also are looking into it. And so we've got a special registration code for those attendees through APPA, and they'll be able to attend our pre-conference workshops and our expo hall on Monday and Tuesday. So we're excited by that opportunity. And then just in closing, I would just say, if this is your first time attending Fiber Connect, take advantage of everything we have to offer, from the general sessions to pre-conference workshops to the breakout sessions to the networking events. Just take it all in. You're going to see that we touch every part of what we call the fiber ecosystem. And you just don't want to miss it. You want to be a part of it. You want to take advantage of it. But I'm grateful for this time together with Rich and Brad. We appreciate you and for hosting this for us to kind of talk a little bit about what to expect at Fiber Connect.
Well, it's absolutely our pleasure. And for the folks listening that want to learn more about Fiber Connect, especially the conference coming up, where can they visit?
FiberConnect2022.org. So that is FiberConnect2022.org. We've got kind of our full agenda posted there. Again, our tagline, if capacity is unlimited, the possibilities are limitless. And so June 12th through 15th, Nashville, Tennessee at the Gaylord Opryland Resort Convention Center. Rich and I can't wait to see you.
That's awesome. Well, and thank you, JJ and Rich, for joining us today. I've enjoyed talking to you guys again and hearing about all the up and coming Fiber Connect agenda and events. And from my team here at the Broadband Bunch, I want to thank everyone out there for joining us also, and have a great day.